Whenever we do ordinations, I always kind of just think through the passages in Scripture where different prophets or people are called into the ministry. And one of my favorite stories is the story of Isaiah. Isaiah begins in Isaiah 6 saying, "It was the year that King Uzziah died." Doesn't mean much to us, but King Uzziah had been a great king. He'd been a great and righteous king of Judah for 40 years. Just think about that, the kind of stability that would bring. Think of if Ronald Reagan just now died. That's how long we're talking about, from 1980 until this year. That long without having any turnover in government, that long with just the stability and the protection that a king could give you. And in the year that he died, Isaiah goes to the temple, and Isaiah knows, he's aware of what Uzziah's children are like and what the kingdom is going to be like now, and he's nervous and he's scared of the coming dissension and the coming just instability. And he goes into the temple, and he's shocked there to see a throne that extends up into heaven, and the Lord seated upon the throne, and the train of his robe fills the temple, and there's smoke separating him from the Lord, and he sees the Lord in all of his holiness, and there are three seraphim, these flying beasts. The word seraphim means burning ones. We don't really know what they look like, but they are terrifying. And they are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And Isaiah falls down on his face and he cries out, "Woe is me." Now, to understand that, you have to understand he was a prophet. A prophet had two jobs. You go from town to town. If the town had been righteous, if the town could expect blessing from the Lord, then Isaiah would cry out, "Blessed are you." If the town had been wicked, then the prophet would cry out, "Woe to you. The Lord's judgment is coming." And Isaiah pronounces God's judgment upon himself, and he says, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." And a seraphim, this terrifying beast, gets a burning coal from the altar and brings it up to him and touches his lips. Good heavens, that had to hurt. And says, "Your sin has been atoned for." And he goes back to the altar and he hears a voice. Isaiah hears a voice calling out, "I need somebody to send. I need a messenger." And Isaiah says these words, and he says them in this order. He says, "Here am I." It's not "here I am." It's not, the nerd from the back of the class going, "Me, me." He's not raising his hand. He says, "Here am I." It's words of discovery. He's surprised. He's not been destroyed by this holiness. But rather, he's been reconstituted, recreated by the grace of the Lord. He says, "Here am I. I'm new. I'm different. Send me." Jason, you are here before us as one who's met the Lord. And one who was surprised to find that he did not come to destroy you, but came in his grace to remake you. And now to send you out with his message. And so with Isaiah on this day of your ordination, I want you to discover yourself. I want you to look at yourself and say, "Here am I. Cleansed, equipped, beloved, called, set apart for every good work. You are in Christ. Christ is in you." Please stand as we read from John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. This precious prayer that Jesus prays for his church. Therefore, in particular for those who have been set apart for ministry in the church. He says, I do not ask for these only, but I offer all those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me, and I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. As far as the reading of God's word, it is more precious than gold, even fine gold, and sweeter than honey straight from the honeycomb. You may be seated. Here am I, reconstituted, equipped for every good work. Who are you? Who are you, Jason? According to this text, you are glorious. Verse 22 says, the glory that... Just let these words register on you. I usually talk too fast. I'm going to go slow. I want you to hear this. The glory that you have given me, as Jesus spoke, speaking to the Father, the smile that you have smiled upon me, the light that you have shown to me, I have given to them. You are receiving the smile of God. You are this glorious being who is set apart. You are this glorious being that your very existence is a shining example of God's grace. It makes people stop and stare like the bush that Moses sees in the wilderness. It's not a big deal to see a burning bush in a dry and arid place. But he didn't just see a burning bush. He saw a bush that wasn't consumed by the fire, that had fire in it and upon it and was indeed on fire but was not being consumed. That's the kind of thing you have to stop and stare at. And when we look at you, we see someone who grew up in rebellion and who dared to dare God to prove to him that he existed. And there, not being smited for your arrogance, but that God in his grace comes to you and smiles upon you and sets you ablaze with his glory, with a glory that doesn't consume you but makes you glow. That's who you are. You're glorious. Let that resonate deep into your heart. The smile of God, the very glory that the Father has bestowed upon Jesus, he has now bestowed it upon you. Man, that would change you if you believed that. It really would. You know, I'm a Jerry Seinfeld fan. I think he's funny. Sorry, I'm a child of the 80s. We all thought he was funny. And I've heard him tell many times about his very first appearance on the Carson show. It was a make or break moment for a comedian. It all came down to what Johnny said after your set. You get 4 minutes. If Johnny says, let's go to a commercial, your career's pretty much over. But Johnny, after Jerry finished his set, Johnny said, come out and take a bow, Jerry. And he looked at him like this. And he said, from the moment I saw that, I knew I was set. I knew I was going to be successful. Jason, you got so much more than a smile from a talk show host. You have the very glory of God upon you. You are glorious. You are beloved. What does verse 26 say? Oh my goodness, look at this. Have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. Not a borrowed love, not a similar kind of love, the very same love with which you have loved me may be in them. God doesn't love you in the same way that he loves Jesus. He loves you with the very same love that he loves Jesus. I remember when I was a campus minister and we found out we were going to have our third child, and one of my students named Leslie looked at me and goes, "Are you ever worried that you just won't have enough love left for him?" And I said, "You dumb girl." I'm just kidding. I said, "Honey, that's just not the way love works. That's just not the way love works." And Romans 8:29 tells us that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. God loves you with the same love that he loves his son. You are glorious. You have the glory of Jesus. You have the love of Jesus. And you are sent. You are sent. Verse 18 that I didn't put in the bulletin. Jesus says to the Father, "Just as you sent me into the world, so I send them." You're sent. You are his representative. What does that mean? It means he stands behind you. He stands behind you. You don't stand as your own. You stand for God. You stand in his place. I had an Old Testament professor named Richard Pratt. And Richard used to always go on mission trips. He still does. As a matter of fact, he does missions full time now. But when he was in Jackson, Mississippi, he went with a group from First Pres to Czechoslovakia, Prague. And while they were there, they had some problems with some of their passports, and so they went to the embassy, and they actually were going to get the chance to meet the ambassador, who is Shirley Temple Black. Shirley Temple in the 1930s was a, you know, little TV figure, and with a big curly hair, and sang "Good Ship Lollipop," and she ended up becoming an ambassador for the United States. And Richard is very well known for being no respecter of persons. So everybody was like, "What are you going to say to her? And he says, "I'll say whatever you want me to say." And one of the students with him said, "I dare you to say it's a good ship lollipop, Toots." He's like, "Okay." And so they gave him a big old all-day sucker for him to hold. And they were waiting in the waiting room. And they were all going to meet her. And then he was going to come up to her and go, "Hey, Toots, it's a good ship lollipop." And while he was waiting there, he looked at her pictures with kings and presidents. And she walked out and she said, "Hello, my name is Ambassador Black, and I'm delighted to meet you." And he said, "Ambassador, it's an honor." And after they exchanged pleasantries and she left, the students all looked at him and said, "That's not what you said you were going to say." And he said, "Did you not see those pictures? Did you not understand who she represents? She stands for our nation. You don't disrespect that." And this text says, Jesus says he sends you. You stand with him behind you. You're not your own. You stand for him. You are beloved. You are glorious, and you are sent. That's who you are. You are beloved, glorious, and sent, and you are one with Christ. You are in Christ. Look at verse 21. "That they may all be one, Father, just as..." This is, again, it's just overwhelming. You just have to kind of bathe in this and spend... I've spent the last 25 years just kind of thinking through this. "You, Father, are in me." Listen to this. "Just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us." Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have from the very beginning of the beginning, from the very bottom of all essence, just as the eternal truth of all eternal truths, is that they are in perfect relationship, three distinct persons and yet one God, so inseparable, they indwell each other in a way that they know each other perfectly. They can never in any form be separated. Just as they have that intimacy, so just as that, you are in them. That is such an incredible thought that if anyone other than Jesus said it, we would have to say that is blasphemous. But it comes straight from Jesus' lips. That they would be just as you are in me, so let them be in us. We are in Christ. That majesty of the Trinity is upon you. It is in you. It is in you. What does that mean? It means that when you are doing ministry in His name, He is doing ministry through your presence. It means that when you walk into a hospital room, the Lord of the universe has walked into the hospital room. It means when you lay hands and pray, the same hands that healed so many on the earth are praying for this person. It means when you listen with the ears of God Himself. When you have, what do you have to offer people in the ministry? You have nothing less than God Himself. You're one with Christ. You're in Christ. And finally, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Verse 23, I in them and you in me. Verse 26, I made known to them your name. I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Not only are you in Christ, but Christ is in you. You have Christ in you. You have Christ in you. What does that mean? It means that your heart is His heart. That He is at work in you. That He has put this sacred message in you, the clay vessel. It's glorious and it is beautiful and it is powerful and rich and it is true. Paul says it like this: what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. There's an archbishop, the primate archbishop of South America, named Gregory Venables. And when he first started his ministry, he was a rector at a little boys' school in Paraguay, and just kind of doing all the things, you know, if you're going to be a minister, that means you're going to be a custodian, basically. And one night he was washing dishes, and it was his finer china, but one of the plates was chipped, so he realized he needed to throw it away, and he just kind of walked it out behind the rectory and set it on the garbage bin, came back in. That was 1978, 79 when he was beginning. And about 2010, he was made primate of all of South America. And he was going around from church to church, serving communion, and was up in Bolivia in the mountains in one of the poorer communities. And just as he was serving the Holy Eucharist, he unveiled the elements. He looked down and he realized that the bread was on that very same plate. Still chipped. He said, I realize that the body of Christ is often served on broken plates. And that's what we are as ministers. We're broken plates that have Christ in us. And whenever we feel inadequate or unprepared or undeserving or empty or broken, we need to remember that we're just a broken plate. But people don't eat the plate. They've come for Christ. Christ is delighted to dwell in you. Christ is delighted to dwell in you. Here you are, beloved and glorious, in Christ and Christ in you. And since it's March 16th, I would encourage you to learn to pray. Learn to pray St. Patrick's Prayer. Christ, shield me today against wounding. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit down. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in the eye that sees me. Christ in the ear that hears me. Here you are. I think that I see Jesus there. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for the gift that is Jason Averill. We pray that you would encourage him, that you are in him, that he is in you, and that you are doing ministry through him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.